Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how you doing? I don't know. We don't all, and how do any of us know how we're doing at this point in our world, in our craziness of what's going on around us and how it's affecting us? We can see outwardly a lot of issues, but what's going on inwardly with us because of all of this? How are our systems faring? How are our energies faring? And it's good to know, because we can do things about it. We can work on ourselves and each other. And I thought it'd be good to do a show about this with one of my best friends, who I'm so impressed with her abilities as a healer and a clairvoyant and clairsentient and clairaudient, and go on and on. But let's introduce Lisa Denton. Lisa, welcome to Energy Stew.
Hi, Peter. Thank you so much. It's always a delight to spend time with you and talk with you and share with you, and you know, always an unending amount of wonderful things to discuss. These are certainly entertaining times.
Well, that's one way to look at it. Everybody is in this survival mode. You know, even people who are seemingly successful right now are still dealing with the presence of a virus, the presence of all kinds of societal dysfunction, and we do our best. You know, sometimes we're just glad to hole up in our caverns, caves, apartments, houses, and feel safe. But that's outwardly, and we also have family and friends who are in struggle that we feel for, and so trouble abounds, and what can we do about it? And that's the point. I think we need to know more what we can do about it.
Right. And I think it is important that, you know, I heard something recently, or reheard, that I know for sure is that often in nature, it is through chaos that new higher order emerges. And so we're going through a time of great chaos, but that is a sign that actually there's a reordering that's going on, and the chaos is emerging to sort of clear way for a greater order. And that's very hopeful, and that can help us then take our focus a little off of what we can't control, that nature is already moving in that direction. So what can we do for ourselves to allow that to happen externally, and how can we navigate that without it creating all the turmoil within us?
Right. So we do have hope that the phoenix will rise.
Yes.
Let's say expectation, but we don't know how thick the ashes are going to be, and we don't want to be so much a part of those ashes.
Right.
So we are energy beings, and we have bodies that actually function on energy. Mm-hmm. They actually are all energy, even though they look very material. it's good to know the blueprint and see how that's functioning. And we have chakras that I think most of our audience knows about, energy vortexes or vortices that come from the body in different places and emanate from. And then there's also something that a lot of people don't know about, is the tree of life. They've heard of the tree of life, but it actually, there are what's called sephirot, which are spheres of energy that are in different parts of our body that are in almost like the structure of the tree of life. And you and I have worked with those a lot, and with the chakras a lot. And you are so adept at feeling and sensing energy and seeing energy. So I wanted, you know, I want the audience to learn from you, you know, how they can be better at this.
Great. That's wonderful. You know, I have loved from when I first came and met you and the school and introduced to it, that how wonderful that there are so many languages of energy from so many different traditions, because it's like, you know, speaking languages when we communicate with each other, there are different ways of saying things. And every time you find a different word or way of saying things or in a different language, it has a different color, it has a different meaning, a different innuendo. And so learning different languages of energy helps us to understand more parts of ourselves, of our experience and our expression. So I thought I'd start with something that even if people are just listening over the audio and not via Zoom, a really wonderful exercise to sensitize ourselves to feeling energy. And it's just, you know, it takes some practice, but everyone can do it. So if we all just rub our hands together very vigorously, just really, we're just, nicely rubbing our hands, and we're invigorating all those electromagnetic energies. And so, and then if you stop with your hands together, and there should be tingling, and you slowly pull your hands apart, you should feel that there's a magnetism there, as if there are two magnets that are, there's a resistance. There's a little bit of resistance pulling your hands apart. And as you slowly, slowly, another little half inch, keep pulling your hands apart, you can feel like there are two magnets that you're pulling apart from each other. But then when you stop, about 10 inches away from each other, your hands are about 10 inches apart, and then you start pushing your hands toward each other, you can feel a resistance, as if there's a little bit of ball, a thought form. And we've excited the electromagnetic field in that area. So you can feel the pull apart, that there's something there, but you can also press in and feel that there's something there, as we've sort of excited those electrons in the electromagnetic field. And if you do that a couple of times, rubbing your hands together very vigorously and then pulling them apart slowly, and after about 6 or 8 inches apart, you start to push your hands in towards each other and you feel a little bit of a resistance. So this is really useful, because we can apply this to all sorts of things, because all these different languages of energies, our chakras, our auras, the sephiro, they all have a specific energy to them. And if we can start sensitizing ourselves to when we feel a greater sense of resistance, as if there's a little beach ball, but it's air, it's an energetic beach ball. And when we can start sensitizing ourselves to when we're feeling, just when the density gets just a little more visceral, then you can start sensing energy. And so we can apply that to all different languages of energy.
Hold it over your body in different ways and feel the energies emanate from your body.
So I did this wonderful thing. Maybe we can take a minute and do this, Peter, because you and I can do this for each other, but I want to show people or explain to people, if you're not on Zoom right now, that you can actually do this for yourself. You rub your hands together and you pull them apart and you put your hands over your head and you bring your hands in together. Just start noticing when you feel like there's a little more resistance, and that's the chakra about your crown. And you can do this up and down your body, rub your hands together, and then in front of your eyes, your third eye, how's that chakra doing? And you can feel some resistance there. And you'll be amazed that it, maybe not the first time, it might take a little practice, but at some point you're going to go, oh, that chakra is a little smaller than that one. That resistance is a little closer. Or, oh, that chakra is really big. And you can kind of move through your body and for yourself, feel the strength of your various chakras.
And for me, when I'm feeling them, I can feel different qualities and different sizes, but often when a chakra is really dysfunctional, my hands will collapse together. There'll be no resistance. And I like that, because that's where most of the work has to be done. And so I know where I have to apply more healing direction. And so we have these seven chakras in front, or let's say one on top, one at the bottom from the perineum pointed down, and then five coming out the front. And then there are secondary chakras, are ones that come out the back, right behind the ones that come out the front. And then we have different chakras coming out of our hands. And I mean, the spleen has an important chakra, but these seven are pretty basic, and that's what most people focus on.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's so interesting, is as we practice these things, which everyone can develop, and we all are sensitive in different ways to experiencing, and we're more or less sensitive in different ways, but it is all in the questions you ask. So for you, you have really done well in developing that instead of feeling a chakra smaller, your hands won't feel anything like a whoops, ooh. Right. And that's how you have developed your language of feeling energy for yourself.
Right, so, and for the purpose of healing.
Yeah.
Right. And so we also want to talk about remote energy, because we can feel the energy in front of us and above us and below, but we can also feel other people's energies. Like I can sit here in New York and feel your energies in Connecticut in great detail. And I do this in classes where with each student, I'll examine their energies. And we had a class like that the other night, and I examined the particular energies of each student in the class. And where there was a weakness, it was understood by the student that, of course, there's a weakness there. That's where I'm having trouble. and so these energies really operate multidimensionally, and they follow our purpose, our intention. We can say, okay, I'm going to look at the energy of Lisa's third eye chakra, sixth chakra, between my hands right now, not even looking at you, but just the universe brings that chakra to me, and it's right there for me to feel the energy of it. And it feels pretty good, by the way.
Oh, good. So, well, I just want to say, just I want you to keep going, but that everything is an information field. So if your focus is without the mental block of your doubt, am I right and am I wrong? It does take practice, but it's like opening up a telephone line. That information is always there. It's just your focus, so that if you can just tune in to think about me in my energy field and ask a question about it, and that line of communication just gets you connected to my information field.
Yeah, it's amazing how powerful we are. Mm-hmm. Multidimensionally, and we don't realize it. And this is one way to discover, because let's say you get good at this, and you can just scan people, family members, any day of the week, anytime, you just want to see how they're doing. So you scan their chakras, and you go, oh, okay, they're doing okay today. And some people think we shouldn't be examining the energy field of people who haven't given us permission to. But it really, then we're assuming that everybody lives as a victim. And I believe, you know, that we all are in charge of our energies subconsciously, our spirits. Because I have people occasionally call me and say, somebody just hexed me and from a distance, and I'm suffering from that. I said, oh, is that what you want? You're allowing that. You're opening the door for that. So don't worry about imposing yourself on others unless they want to be a victim of you. But they can be very determined. They don't have to think about it, but their energy field has integrity that you're not going to be able to interfere with. Just think of these leaders in the world who so many people would like to send bad energy to, and you don't see them falling on the ground from that. It doesn't work at that level, but it certainly works at the level where we can decipher energies, we can feel the energies.
As I said, it's an information field, so you can just get information.
And it's there through time.
Right.
You can. I can look at information from you, for instance, when you were 3 years old. and you know, and also one time many years ago, I examined the energy fields of all the past presidents. And that told me their stories of their lives, because their energy fields could describe how they were struggling.
So this is an interesting question, Peter. I can ask you this. What was my, what chakra had my greatest problem when I was 7 years old, 6 and 7 years old?
All right. Throat chakra. Biggest is the throat chakra. And that had to do with communication, with expressing yourself, or not being able to express yourself.
Well, and that's perfectly, because that was a very traumatic time for me, and I was silenced. And so that, to me, that is something and that's wise, because that's something that has taken me so long. I have no problem speaking up for other people and for causes, but for myself, that's been a lifelong challenge. And that was a very traumatic time. So that's perfect. See, there you go.
Ding. It always works. So our audience can learn to do these things.
Yes.
And we have Heart River Center that we teach it. And you also have clients and students who you work with. And right. So, but you're also on a board member of Heart River Center and have taught many years at Heart River.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you and I can be in such alignment talking about all this, because we know how each other functions.
Right. And you know, so this is always great to talk with you, because you're better at using your communication skills, testing energy for yourself. I don't do that enough. I meditate every day for sure. But I love this because it reminds me of other tools. So Peter, talk for a minute, please, about how you would take the energy of yourself, something that you test, and then that information, what can you do with that to help yourself? What are some tools?
Well, there's so many tools. It really depends on what we find. You know, there are ways of just intending light to flow through energy that isn't light-filled enough.
Mm-hmm.
But also picturing, because I do a lot of healing sessions, group sessions on Zoom, where the universe just speaks to me the whole time. It's about a 20-minute, 25-minute healing meditation. And there's so many ways that the universe describes to me to communicate to the people in the meditation what colors to use, what forms to use, how they flow, where they flow, whether the energy is from the earth energy, or universal source creator energy, or just picturing. I'll have people just picturing gold building up in their hearts, you know, and expanding that through the body, and all kinds of different ways that, but it's information that I'm instructed by higher beings who speak through me during these meditations.
So if people haven't developed those capacities yet, or those abilities yet, to trust that they're receiving intuitive higher information, if you start to feel, let's say, you're rubbing your hands together and you can kind of go through your chakras, the crown chakra, and feel that, and the third eye chakra, and then the throat chakra, and then you get down, and let's say your solar plexus chakra is just really weak. There's not a lot of stuff going on there. What could you instruct me to do? Okay, there's yellow. We know that yellow is a joyful color, and maybe I'm missing some yellow. What else?
You know, solar plexus has to do with feelings, with emotions.
Right.
So it could have to do with anger or fear. So then we have to kind of feel ourselves out, whether we're struggling because, you know, we're too angry or too fearful, or so many other feelings that we can have there. And then look at what we need. What do we need? Maybe I just need to be hugged, or hug somebody,
mm-hmm.
or just, you know, scream into a pillow. so many different ways that we just need to think out what's missing. And could be like, I used to just go for a hard run and pound it out on the roads. And all of a sudden I'd be in a oneness space, could be meditation. So, or could be just talking to someone you love and expressing and enjoying a loving relationship. So there's so many ways that we're not able to, we you know, I think this radio show is important because we're conditioning people with ideas that they might not have on their own on what to do for themselves.
So let's say you can, everyone can start working, you meditate in the morning or afternoon and you just start rubbing your hands together and start trying to feel kind of the size or the resistance of your seven chakras. People should know something about each chakra, but Peter, I'm doing this because I it's a review for everybody. First chakra, flashlight, right?
Flashlight down onto the earth, right? Because it grounds us into how life works.
Right. How we feel safe in our daily world, moving forward in the world.
Right.
Second chakra, right, is your passion, intimacy, relationship, how you're passionate in your life. It's not, can be sexuality, but yeah.
It's trust, trusting people to be true to you.
Great. Third chakra, emotions. Yellow I always see as joyful, but that's always fear, anger. You know, that's where the adrenals are and the kidneys in the back. That's all balanced emotion. You know, can we navigate emotionally, correct?
Right.
I'm doing this quick review.
Good.
And then the heart is love. It's unconditional love externally and internally for yourself. Your capacity to be in a loving place.
And to feel whole.
And to feel whole.
Right. It's right. The oneness factor. It's coherency and it has a lot to do with unconditional love.
Right. And we've talked about, you and I recently, we can get back to this, but the heart, mind, coherence, and all of that. But let me just do this quick review. Throat is blue. It's communication. It's expression. It's could be creative expression, but just your ability to speak up for your truth, for who you are, for what you want and you need. Correct?
Right.
And third eye is your perception. It can be your intuition, but how are you perceiving the world and how are you integrating your perceptions of the world and your intuitions?
Right. The third eye sees so much more than our eyes see. Mm-hmm. Knows so much more. It's incredible, you know, and even through our eyes, and they all work together with a pineal gland, and its pineal gland connects us to universal consciousness.
And I've always called that my satellite or our satellite dish. It's always out there picking up everything, and how much can we interpret what we're picking up? And then the crown chakra is your connection to, you know, to your higher self, to your greater self, to your, you know, the greater wisdom, to divinity, whatever you want to call that connection. And are you open to receiving that life force energy from your higher self?
Yeah, it's the higher mind versus the mundane mind.
Right. Okay. So that's just a review for this purpose. So if there's a problem, if somebody finds a problem with their first chakra, their flashlight, they need more grounding, right? This is a basic primer here that then you know, how to feel safer in the world.
They're uncomfortable about how they're dealing with life. They're not feeling like they can handle the material needs on the planet.
So what's a tool someone can do if they find their, you know, what if we can each give a tool or two for each chakra, then I think we'll help people if they're testing things and learning to test their chakras. We'd like to give them a couple of tools on what they can do about
it. I think picturing drawing energy up from the earth, it's very important to feel at one with nature and the world around us. And also, it's a sense of identity, even though that's a lot of the heart chakra. This is a sense of, where do I sit down? Where do I know I belong? And how do I know how to function where I belong? And so maybe it's writing journals and you know, talking to yourself about how are you in this world? You know, what are your expectations for life and how is it meeting you?
And I think another thing, just being in the moment, can you take a hot bath and just be in your body and get out of your mind and feel your body, you know, just be here now. It's safe to be here now.
Right.
Kind of thing.
That's wonderful. Good. We only have about a minute and a half left.
Oh, no, it goes so fast. At any rate, I think that's, if you understand some of the languages of energy and you can start finding ways to test those languages, it gives you more tools for your self-awareness and also for self-correction, so that it's not just about quieting the mind, but understanding that whatever you're going through, it shows up in all of your energy fields, whether it's your chakras or your mental body or your emotional body or your tree of life and your Sephiro. And then we have a lot of different options, even if, as you said earlier, Peter, just an intention to put energy there. If you put energy into, you know, like chesed, mercy, in the right shoulder, right? The Sephiro?
Sometimes, yes, but, well, we can get into that in another show.
Another time, but, yeah, yeah, but we can just focus on sending love there.
But there are times where I ask the universe, what can we do for this chakra? And sometimes they'll just say, fill it with gold light or fill it with white light. Sometimes they want me to place a diamond, the energy of a diamond there, and have the brilliance of a diamond shine in that chakra. And that really creates wholeness.
I think that's so beautiful. And I think the point is that the more information we have, if you just put intention into a place that's weak, it automatically strengthens it. If you just put love, that image of a diamond or gold light or love or an offering of caring, that automatically shifts the field, and we're all capable of doing that.
And believe in yourself that your intention is powerful. And if you have an instinct of what to do, you know, it's good to have tools like to know that there are these different colors and lights and forms. Sometimes I'll put a platonic solid into a chakra, and you know, it could be a cube or a sphere, or it could be an icosahedron or a dodecahedron, and maybe even spin it, and all of a sudden that chakra wakes up and is happy again.
And so to remember that energy flows where attention goes. So if you're finding place that's weak in your life, it's not to judge yourself. It's to know that it needs more attention, and that will automatically make more energy flow, and that will help you feel more whole. And this is a time it's important for us to feel more whole.
And we're really out of time now. So Lisa Denton, how can people reach you?
Heartriver.org. You can always get in touch with me through Peter and Heart River. My email is lisawdenton@gmail.com. I will get my website up soon, lisadenton.com.
Yeah, but you have these wonderful Saturday morning meditations that people can get on the mailing list for, so they should do that.
Yes. Right now, I haven't attached that mailing list to lisadenton.com yet, so it'll have to be through Heart River right now in the short term. Sorry.
All right. Well, as long as we know that they're interested, we'll make sure that they're
interested. Every Saturday morning, World Healing Meditation open to the public.
It's wonderful. Lisa, it's so great to talk with you. We're going to talk again soon because we're not finished yet.
Never.
Today. All right. Thanks so much for being on Energy Stew.
My delight. Thank you, Peter.